Hey, welcome to Rock Talk with Jackie Neal. I'm going to be talking with all kinds of entertainers, musicians, artists, comedians, singers, songwriters, bands, about their life, their career, their inspirations, their philosophies. I'd love for you to subscribe, like, and leave us a review. One of the most gifted and talented humans on the planet, Angela Johnson Reyes.
Hey, thank you so much. Thank you for that intro. I feel so accomplished. Thank you.
You are. You know, Angela, for people that don't know, going back to the beginning, you played soccer, softball, ran track. You were a Pop Warner cheerleader. Without dance experience, you were hired to be an Oakland Raiderette Rookie of the Year. You performed at Super Bowl 36. You've been in movies, music, endorsements, TV shows, your own Netflix specials, Mad TV. You were a runner-up in February on The Real Dirty Dancing. What a slacker.
Listen, I thought I felt accomplished after your intro, and I'm like, wow, I'm amazing.
You are amazing. How do you do all of that? It seems like you stay busy all the time.
You know, I don't know how I do it all. The adrenaline probably helps, that's for sure. You just wake up and go. And I'm so grateful that this is my life, that this is what I get to do. I get to travel the world, bring people joy, make people laugh, especially at a time when people need it so much. And I'm so grateful that I have been chosen to live this life. And I've been touring for 15 years now, and I'm so grateful that people still want to come hear from me, that my shows are still selling out after all this time. Like, I don't take any of it for granted, and I just keep going until I can't go no more.
Now, I want to ask you, with your show coming up, what faves can we expect? What character faves can we really count on?
Well, you know what? I'm definitely bringing my new hour of comedy to people.
So awesome.
You can expect to hear some new funny. But also, you know, this nail salon joke, if I don't do that joke, people will protest. So I have to do it. But now when I do this joke, it's more of like a thank you to my crowd. Like, thank you for riding with me for so long. I know this is the joke that introduced you to me. I know that this is the joke that you bonded with your girlfriends about. I know that this is the joke that, you know, I hear so many stories from people. They leave me messages on social media or in meet and greets. And, you know, I've had people say things to me like, you know, every time I see that video, it reminds me of my dad because he used to watch your video when he was going through chemo. Mm. Or they say things to me like, I don't really get along with my mom, but we bonded over that one joke you do. So thanks for that. And I get messages like that from people, and I'm reminded of why I do what I do and who I do it for. So at the end of my show, I like to present it to my fans like a thank you. I know we all had a great time listening to my new jokes, but I know this is what you really want to hear. So here it is.
Sounds like a cherry on that awesome Sunday that people can expect. Your observations of people and situations, as well as your impressions. My question is, you're always watching people for material. When can you just relax and not be in show prep mode?
You know, what's interesting is I feel like I relax a lot and I'm not in the writing mode. Like, I'm not on. Like, if you were to talk to my friends and family, I'm definitely not always on.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm just kind of living my life. And that's where my material comes from, is just life. And when I put on my writing hat, when I put on my, okay, I need some new jokes, and I start thinking about the conversations that I've had over the past few weeks or few months, I start thinking about situations that have happened, and then I can go into it. But honestly, girl, I love rest. I love it. I love to turn my brain off.
So underrated.
Like, I don't want to think about nothing.
Okay, because in my mind, every conversation you have, every place you are where you're observing people, in your mind, you're like, write that down later. I'm so glad to know that you can actually capsulize it and have a time when you just kind of go through the mental Rolodex and then do it, and that you're actually, it sounds like you're just in the moment and digging it.
Just living life. And that's where my comedy comes from, is living life. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it comes from those natural moments. When I'm writing material, yes, my goal is to make people laugh, but more than that, my goal is to connect with people on a human level. I love to relate to people. I love to look at my audience and see people agreeing with what I'm saying, or being like, oh my God, my husband does that too. Or, you know, get husbands pointing at their wives like, yep, you're talking about my wife. And mm-hmm. like, I love to see that. I love to see that, that connection, that human connection. And that comes from me just sharing real life, you know?
Now, my husband and I watched The Resurrection of Gavin Stone over the weekend. Loved that movie. You said no to the part of Kelly at first. Why?
Honestly, I didn't want to do a Christian movie because it was like a faith-based film.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do it. And after, like, I read the script and I spoke to the director, it was just such a beautiful story. And it didn't feel too, like, over the head preachy. It mm-hmm. felt like, yes, we take place in church, so all of the conversation about God makes sense because you're in a church, so it makes sense to hear that. So it wasn't like, you know, it's a movie that takes place out on a football field and all of a sudden we're quoting scripture left and right. Like, that just feels so ridiculous, you know what I mean? It felt natural, it felt organic, and I ended up doing it, and I'm so glad I did. It was such a great experience.
It was a great movie, and I loved that the characters were just real. Someone can relate to every character on some level in that movie. I just loved it. I thought it was so sweet. Now, I'm going to take you back to when the lady with the Raiderettes, what she told you at tryouts, that seemed to kind of lock in your destiny. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, yes. Thank you for bringing that up. It's one of my favorite stories. I auditioned to be a cheerleader for the Oakland Raiders, and I didn't really have any technical dance training. I was a cheerleader, and I had rhythm, but I didn't have technical training. And, you know, I get to this audition. There's 700 girls at this open call audition. Like, there's a lot of us. And then from that, I ended up making it to the call back, to the second call, which is where we had to learn a dance routine. And there's about 300 of us left. She's teaching us the choreography. She has a little Britney Spears microphone on. And at one point, she jumps off the stage and, like, weaves her way through the crowd and finds me. And she comes up to me and she says, clearly, you have no dance training, but you have something that cannot be taught. That was the moment, like, I got what she was saying. Like, it was, there was something in me that even though I wasn't pointing my toes correctly or spotting in my turn, I had that it factor. I had that something, and I held on to that, and I ended up making the squad. And still to this day, that is probably my favorite backhanded compliment I've ever received.
Don't you think that gave you the confidence to go ahead and just go for it?
Yeah, it definitely was like a stamp of approval. It was like, it was a reminder of, and you got something. Like, even when you walk into the room and you didn't go to the best acting school and you didn't go to, you know, the best sketch comedy school, like, even though you didn't do that and on paper you don't have the qualifications, you have something, and they won't be able to find that anywhere else. And so that definitely helped me when I was going into my audition for Mad TV or, you know, for any of the movies or shows that I've done.
And, you know, I kind of see it also as God's favor on you, that people pick you when really on paper there's no reason why.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I feel that too, for sure.
Now, your current tour and your book, I just downloaded it yesterday on Kindle. Who Do You Think I Am? Stories of Chola Wishes and Caviar Dreams. And it seems to me, reading about you, Angela, and kind of following you throughout the years, that you've let God lead you in decisions. And so I'm going to ask you, what advice do you have for people that might be at a crossroads or wanting to pursue their dreams, but it's just that fear of the hurdle?
There's so many things that can distract us and get in our way, but there's nothing more distracting and more stumbling than our own selves, our self-sabotage, our doubt in our heads and our minds. And that's why my book is called Who Do I Think I Am? Because I went through, like, who do I think I am to say I want to be an actress? Like, I'm just this girl from San Jose. Where do you be an actress in San Jose? You don't. Like, how dumb is this idea? How far-fetched? I might as well say I want to be a princess. Like, we can get our doubt in our minds and doubt ourselves, but we're the thing standing in our way a lot of times. And so I would say to anybody listening, whether your dream is to be in the entertainment industry or to start your own business or or to apply to get that raise in your job or whatever it is, I would say do you and do you well. Remember that there's only one you. And so every time you step into that room, nobody can do what you can do because there's only one you. Nobody has your childhood. Nobody has your life experience that you have. And that's what makes you unique, your perspective, your point of view. And so you're going to come in there special and unique. And remember that. And that sets you apart.
I have one more question, if that's all right.
Yeah.
What is the one thing that your fans don't know about you, but that you want them to know?
Ooh, well, I did put a lot in my book, so.
Yes, you did.
If you read my book, then there's probably not much left. But I'm not always on. I'm not the comedian that's always working, but I love people. I love my family. I love my friends. I love to, when I come off the road and I have, you know, 2 days back home, that's all I got. I want to spend those 2 days with the people that I love the most. Like, let's come over for dinner. Let's, you know, have a game night. Let's just watch a movie together. I love my people, my community. That's something that I don't know a lot of people know about me because, you know, people just think I'm all go and I'm all work, which I am a lot of the time. But I also just love my family and my friends.
I love it. Angela, thank you. You are precious on every level. Thank you so much for taking time with us.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Rock Talk with Jackie Neal.